Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we get to the story of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. Let's listen to Faith Comes By Hearing's reading of the 32 verses of the Tower of Babel in chapter 11.
Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another,
"Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly."
And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said,
"Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth."
And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said,
"Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech."
So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth.
These are the generations of Shem. When Shem was 100 years old, he fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he fathered Arpachshad 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arpachshad had lived 35 years, he fathered Shelah. And Arpachshad lived after he fathered Shelah 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah had lived 30 years, he fathered Eber. And Shelah lived after he fathered Eber 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 34 years, he fathered Peleg. And Eber lived after he fathered Peleg 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he fathered Reu. And Peleg lived after he fathered Reu 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reu had lived 32 years, he fathered Serug. And Reu lived after he fathered Serug 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug had lived 30 years, he fathered Nahor. And Serug lived after he fathered Nahor 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he fathered Terah. And Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years and had other sons and daughters. When Terah had lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred, in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah.
Now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
I only have a journal entry from 2007 about Genesis chapter 11, but it sounds a lot like that journal entry from 1999 on chapter 10 yesterday. 8 years separates these journal entries, but let me read both of them. First, let's go back to 1999 when I read Genesis 10 and 11 together, and I wrote, "The Bible is an amazing book if you read it with searching eyes." Like today, chapter 10, a bunch of genealogy, but three times it says people were separated according to their language, verses 5, 20, and 31. This is before the Tower of Babel in chapter 11, which states, "Now the whole earth had one language." So how can people be separated in chapter 10 according to their languages when the whole earth had one language in chapter 11? That was the journal entry in 1999. 8 years go by. 2007, I'm reading Genesis chapter 11 and I write, chapter 10 verse 5 says, "From these, the coastlands of the nations were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations." Chapter 10, 20, and 31 also say, "according to their languages," indicating to me there were different languages. 11, 1 says, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words." There appears to be a conflict here. I have never really understood the Tower of Babel story either. Now, I shared the answer to the conflict yesterday, so if you want to get that answer, listen to the podcast of Genesis chapter 10. I wanted to share the two journal entries from different years to show that sometimes the Word of God is very consistent as we read it, regardless of how many years is separated between the times we read various chapters. Sometimes the chapters touch us in very different ways based on our circumstances, but in this instance, this chapter touched me pretty much the same way, though there was an 8-year separation. I also confessed in my journal entry that I never really understood the Tower of Babel story. So again, let's get some insight from my footnotes from the English Standard Version Study Bible. This is a footnote concerning chapter 11, verses 1 through 9 on the Tower of Babel. "This episode is significantly more important than its length suggests. It presents a unified humanity using all its resources to establish a city that is the antithesis of what God intended when he created the world. The tower is a symbol of human autonomy, and the city builders see themselves as determining and establishing their own destiny without any reference to the Lord." I continue with a footnote on verses 2 through 4. "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and let us make a name for ourselves." The Babel enterprise is all about human independence and self-sufficiency apart from God. The builders believe that they have no need of God. Their technology and social unity give them confidence in their own ability, and they have high aspirations, constructing a tower with its top in the heavens. Contrary to God's plan that people should fill the earth, the city building project is designed to prevent the population from being dispersed over the face of the whole earth. By showing God's continued interest in his creatures, this episode provides the setting for the call of Abram out of this very region to be the vehicle of blessing to the whole world. And one last footnote to help us understand the story of the Tower of Babel, my footnote concerning verses 5 and 11. With irony, the narrator points out that it was necessary for the Lord to come down in order to see the city and the tower, acknowledging the potential danger of a unified, self-confident humanity. God intervenes by confusing their language so that they cannot understand one another. This has the desired effect of dispersing the people throughout the world. Once again, God wants it one way, and humanity wants it a different way. Once again, God intervenes to ensure his plan goes forward. Though the Tower of Babel happened many, many years ago, people act the same today. We are still about human independence and self-sufficiency apart from God. We still think our technology and our social unity is better than a relationship with God. And if God was concerned then about people's ability to communicate with each other, he must really be concerned today. I just traveled to 7 different countries in Europe. The countries spoke Portuguese, Spanish, French, Italian, Swedish, and Norwegian. I don't speak any of those languages, but I was able to communicate in English virtually everywhere I went. And with email, through the internet, we can virtually communicate anywhere in the world today. I have no idea whether God is concerned that we can communicate across the world once again. Of course, there is value in spreading the word of God, which he said in his word. All nations will hear the gospel, and then the end will come. There's great benefit through Ad Bible that it can go worldwide. So there are blessings and curses that the world can communicate together. As we leave Genesis 11, let's pay attention to the descendants of Shem. You probably noticed the end of the list. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he fathered Terah. And Nahor lived after he fathered Terah 119 years, and he had other sons and daughters. When Terah had lived 70 years, he fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So God has winnowed down the human race after Noah to one family, Terah, a descendant of Shem, and the father of Abram. We'll see how this plays out in Genesis chapter 12. Father, we don't know whether you're pleased or displeased with our ability to communicate across the world again. We pray that you would use the technology of our day to spread your gospel across the earth. Accelerate the task to be sure that everybody has a chance to hear the gospel, and then the end will come. Father, may we be used of you through language and technology to spread your word across the globe. Bless us and be pleased with our efforts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.